ShareCare, helping you get younger, get guidance, get better care, get smart, get fit. Radio MD presents ShareCare Radio with Daria Long Gillespie, MD.
Our next segment is our weekly ShareCare Health Makers interview. The ShareCare Health Makers series brings together the best minds in medicine, wellness, science, and technology to provide candid, thought-provoking insight into their respective fields. They also share their visions and concerns, from the future of healthcare to using technology to manage an aging population to how diet and exercise can alter our genes. Today, we're listening to Dr. Deepak Chopra, the founder of the Chopra Foundation and the Chopra Center for Well-Being in Carlsbad, California, and a senior scientist for the Gallup Poll. He has written over 56 books with 18 bestsellers on mind-body health, spirituality, and peace. Dr. Chopra will be discussing mind-body spirituality, the current state of medicine and technology, and the future of healthcare.
I started by looking at the relationship between mind and body. But then I realized that, you know, this mind is complicated. How do you even define the mind? The best definition of mind that I've heard comes from a UCLA psychotherapist, Daniel Siegel, who says it's a process, and it's a relational and embodied process that regulates the flow of energy and information in our bodies. Now, that's a mouthful, but actually when you begin to understand it, you do recognize that it's meaning more than anything else. There is absolutely no explanation for how meaning is processed in the brain. In science, this is called the hard question. The soft question is easy. Oh yeah, when you have this experience, there's a neural representation, but that doesn't tell me how I experience or where is feeling, where is imagination, where is subjectivity. Now, only spiritual traditions even begin to address this. When I talk to my scientist friends, they say, you know, one day we'll figure it out. We will figure out the problem of consciousness. And they call it a problem. The reason why that might be a false premise is when you're looking at consciousness, consciousness is looking at consciousness. That, by definition, the spiritual traditions say, is a subjective experience. And any objective validation of that will at best be inferential. I'm thinking consciousness is out there and I'm trying to locate it in what I'm observing when it's the observer that's doing that. So what you're looking for is the one who's doing the looking. This is where spiritual tradition said you've got to combine your objective insights with your subjective experiences in contemplative inquiry, in meditation, in insight, for insight meditation, in vipassana, in mindfulness. So I started to do that. I started to say, you know, let me look at what science has to say, but let me look at what wisdom traditions have to say. They're very profound, and you know, they had a different methodology. But if we combine the two, maybe we'll have a little more understanding. That's what I've done 35 years. There are people now who, you know, can do PET scans and functional MRIs. Neuroplasticity has exploded as a field. There's all this information on gene indeterminism, and mechanistic science has to address big problems, huge problems, which it assumed. You know, how do you answer the question of free will? Are we living in a deterministic, mechanistic world? Because that's what reductionist science would say. And yet, you know, you and I are convinced that we have choices. At least it seems like that. We are convinced that there's somebody here having an experience. The questions aren't answered. In fact, they're becoming even more difficult to answer. The big issue that concerns me in American health is that we have a sense of entitlement and no sense of responsibility. We dramatize when, you know, a bill comes up in Congress, we dramatize end-of-life care as death squads or whatever they call them, when in fact end-of-life care is where most of the expense goes and most of the suffering happens. The patient suffers, the relatives suffer, everybody suffers except the hospital, which makes money. Okay, and you know, even the insurance company in the end suffers because they lose money at that point. We hardly have anyone dying at home. They all have to die in a hospital with machines around them. It's a system that is totally divorced from the essence of human beings who are spiritual beings, who want to find meaning even in death, and, you know, who want to find some kind of nurturing even in the last stages of life. So, you know, that's what's wrong. And then there's an overemphasis on instant gratification, whether it's through a drug or a sleeping pill or, you know, whatever, there's instant gratification. And all these things are easily treated through stress management, through massage, through breathing exercises, through a little bit of movement in the bed, a little bit of, you know, improvised yoga, through massage. There are so many things you can do that will obviate about 80% of our resources in the hospitals. I think the more we can start documenting this, the more we start training people. You don't need highly specialized medical doctors to take care of most illnesses that human beings have. But we've gone down this road such a long way. There are so many special interest groups invested in this. There's so much technology invested in this. It'll take a long time to change the habits of an entire nation. It can only be fixed if we embark on national campaigns, such as, say, Alexander Siaris is doing on obesity and the comorbidities of obesity, or the 9 visual rules of health. And we have to do it in a way that's convincing, that is simple, that is inspiring. And we have to use every kind of resource, whether it's media, whether it's information technology, education of children in schools, entertainment, you know, Hollywood. Things can be done. I mean, you know, the smoking campaign used all those avenues, and we have some success. The drunk driving, we have success. I think the next thing is to start with something as simple as comorbidity of obesity, because it affects so many other illnesses, from diabetes to Alzheimer's to arthritis to heart disease, you name it. To start with something like that, show an effect, but it has to be a national campaign at a big, big level where everybody cooperates. And there's media involvement, because without media you don't reach people, and where people find this information inspiring in a way that, you know, we've studied, oh, stress does this to you. What does joy do to you? Mm-hmm. What does falling in love do to you? What does, playing football do to you? These are things we have to really start emphasizing as part of the whole healing journey. I think we're at a crossroads right now, so I can't predict what's going to happen. My hope is that we'll use the best technology to make early diagnosis, identify the 5% of genetic mutations and address them through the right molecular biology, look at personalized medicine in a deep way through technology, but this is not going to solve the problem. So our problem is we all need to be more loving, more compassionate, more aware, and more consciously making choices, and being a little less selfish. You know, Dean Ornish often speaks of his Indian guru. He might not talk about it on television, but his guru used to say, what's the difference between illness and wellness? And then he'd circle I in illness and W-E in wellness. The difference is, mm-hmm. instead of I, it's we. The more you think in terms of we, the more calm your mind will be. You know, as long as I'm always thinking about myself, I'm always stressed. You know, that's the cause of all the stress in the world. Too much self-importance, too much self-concern, too much self-absorption. And, you know, frequently people in the spiritual world are accused of that. But if you really understand spirituality, it's going from the I into the we. It's a domain of awareness where we experience our universality. And I think that ultimately that's the only solution.
That was Dr. Deepak Chopra from ShareCare's Healthmakers Collection. Check out more Healthmaker interviews at www.sharecare.com/healthmakers.